On this episode of Still Loading.
I'm not too sure about you, Simon, but your whip's in great shape.
Very funny.
What am I supposed to do with these balls, Captain N?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this new episode of the Still Loading Podcast. I'm your host, Josh Koval, and we are back again with another Captain N episode. And joining me, as always, is my buddy Dexter. Dexter, how are you doing today?
Hey, everybody. I'm doing well. I am doing wellicus. Keep it thematic here.
that'll fit in with episode 5, which we'll be talking about next month slash actually later today, because we recorded these in batches. Captain N episode 4. Normally, before we would dive into this, I would actually like to talk to you and like get, you know, let the listeners know how you're doing, but we're on a timetable, we're on a time crunch today, so we'll have to see if we can do that another time. Because I know you
can skip the pleasantries, because this is an action-packed episode here.
This is a really good episode, actually, which I know is not saying much for this cartoon, but it's actually a pretty good episode. So let's go over the overall premise, right? The overall story of this is that Mother Brain, which I have started, because during my notes, I'm tired of writing out Mother Brain, so I just write in Mobra to short.
That's way better than MB. That's what I do in my notes.
Mobra needs, so she is trying to find a new way to take over Videoland. And so she asked, the first quote of this was, "Metroid mirror on my wall." And she asks her mirror how to take over Videoland. Like, what could she do? And the mirror tells her about these three sacred treasures. One, that's a bad joke, but it made me chuckle a little bit. Just kind of like, did they really just go there?
I get like all the reliance on science, I guess, in the last few episodes with her, like with Dr. Wily. And then they're like, let's throw some magic in here for no reason.
There's a lot of like weird, like mythical objects in this episode. So this is actually part one of like a two-parter, because this episode, spoiler alert, ends on a cliffhanger, which we will get to.
Yeah, that was a big surprise, actually.
It was funny because I watched it for the first time on stream, and then we just literally for me and the viewers, and then it ended on a cliffhanger. I'm like, I can't watch the second one tonight. It's 11:30. I have work tomorrow morning. So I literally ended on a cliffhanger. I'm like, I guess we just won't know how they end up. We just won't know how they will have to wait. And so I actually watched it last night, episode 5. The basic premise is that's what Mother Brain is trying to do. And then it cuts over to the end team, and they're playing Donkey Kong, but Kevin is in this shit. Kevin is in is Mario. And you're running up, and he has to save Princess Lana from Donkey Kong. And it was a really weird and random scene. What are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I do want to talk about that, but I want to back up for a second for two things. First thing, totally meant to do this schedule-wise. I know you did. I know I did. that this episode is called The Video Olympics. And today is the first day of the Tokyo Olympics.
Oh my God, you're right. I didn't even think about that.
And wow. So a little behind the curtain there, but I thought that was kind of fitting that we're talking about this today.
That's pretty funny.
But yeah, they of course the three sinister sacred treasures, whatever they refer to them as, are from the Kid Icarus game. And so the Kid Icarus world is Mount Icarus. Everything's just Icarus. But I wanted to point out that they're playing the Mario Underground theme as they're showing Mount Icarus.
There's a lot of stuff in this where it just doesn't make any sense. Where, like, yeah. I when I was playing it on stream, someone popped in and like, do they just randomly have Mario sound effects for everything? And I'm like, pretty much.
Yep. Yeah. I think they were working with the same soundboard as the Mario Super Show.
Because didn't this end up getting season, quote unquote, season three of this show is actually split with Super Mario World, I want to say. Like, the episodes are 11 minutes instead of the full 20.
Exactly, yeah. It kind of got absorbed by, which you usually see the other way around. Like, Pinky and the Brain started out as a short in Animaniacs and got its own show. This was like the opposite. Started as its own show, and they're like, do we really want to do 20 minutes of this?
I mean, arguably episode 5 could have been done in 11 minutes. Done in 11 minutes. But okay. Anything else you want to say before we talk about the Donkey Kong thing? Was there anything
else? The only other thing I wanted to point out was, like, it was very jarring to me when the mirror started speaking to Mother Brain. It was just like a normal female voice, and like they put like the simplest like effect. The narrator sounds more like a magic mirror than the actual magic mirror's voice in this show. So I was like, really? You guys couldn't come up with something else for the magic mirror voice?
This show is such a bizarre combination of really creative and really lazy. there's not a whole lot in between with it. The thing that stuck out to me with the Donkey Kong scene was, I noticed he said this twice now. I didn't hear it in the fifth episode, but he said it, I want to say, in episode 2 with the Howl's Bayou episode. And then he also said it here where he goes, a life-size DK Donkey Kong simulator. That's not repeated. But then he goes, what a concept. He said that in this one, and he said that in, I believe, episode 2. And I'm like, is this his catchphrase that he just doesn't say all the time?
That might be his catchphrase.
What a concept. It's such a weird line. It
feels like a very 90s thing to say, too.
Very much so. I don't know. I thought that was just very strange. I don't know. And what did you want to say about the Donkey Kong game, though?
Oh, I like the idea of a life-size Donkey Kong simulator is what a concept. I don't think I can keep that going. I actually thought that was cool, but at the same time, like, you couldn't have picked another game. Like, we've been doing Donkey Kong. I guess they already had the Donkey Kong character sheet, so like, for the animator's sake, like, just keep it going with Donkey Kong.
I mean, technically, they did Donkey Kong in, what, the first episode, and then it's Bayou Billy in the second, and then it's Castlevania in the third.
Yeah, but they had the Donkey Kong Indiana Jones spoof in episode 3.
You're right. I forgot about that. Thinking of, like, we said episode 3 was pretty good, too. I think what I'm noticing that really makes this show for me is Eggplant Wizard and King Hippo.
Absolutely.
Like, the lines those two utter are just insane. Absolutely insane. And we'll get to those in a little bit. I don't want to jump too far ahead. But so after they finish playing the Donkey Kong game, Mother Brain does a video call into them and basically challenges them to what she calls Video Olympics. And it's basically just the Olympics for them. And the whole premise is, though, is that she's using Video Olympics as a distraction, as a guise, so that way she can take those three sacred treasures from Kid Icarus's world, from Kid Icarus Land, okay, or Mount Icarus. And that's the general premise of the story. But the scene where she calls in, I have so much to say about it. First off, she calls in. And there's so much that bothers me about this. So she proposes the thing, and Princess Lana goes, you the princess, and laughs. I'm like, okay, that I get it. But then Kevin goes, we should give her the benefit of the doubt. Because she basically makes a deal where if you win this tournament, then I'll stay in Metroid forever. But if I win this tournament, I become queen / princess of Videoland.
Right.
And Kevin's like, you should give Mother Brain the benefit of the doubt. I'm like, no, you shouldn't. You absolutely shouldn't. Like, and then that's one bit of questionable logic. And then it gets worse where Lana's like, it could be a trap, though. And he goes, well, what better way to find out than to go along with it? I'm like, then just don't go along with it. Like, that's not a great way to find out if it's a trap. That means you've fallen into the trap.
I'm not so sure Kevin's the game master after all this.
Oh my, I was so upset by this. I'm like, what do you mean, what better way to find out it's a trap than by walking into the trap? Well, no fucking shit. I can fall, like, hey, is this pit really far? Is this a big drop into the bottom of this pit? I don't know. Let me jump in and find out. Oh no, my legs are broken. I guess it was far. It's a dumb fucking idea.
But now you know.
I just got so, and trust me, I don't know if I sound that enthused when I'm talking about it. I'm trying to keep my voice down because my kid is asleep right now. But, like, what the hell, man?
I know. Well, not only that, but, like, this show, whenever you think you're following it, like, takes such a strange left turn. Like, I was like, okay, they're setting up these treasures, so clearly there's going to be an adventure on Mount Icarus, which... that is what happens. But for them to be like, oh, we're gonna propose a game, like, wait, what? Why don't you just go and take the treasures? Like, why do we have to make this game? And even the other characters are confused by this. Like, even the even the bad guys, when they're talking to Mother Brain about it, are like, oh, this is great, we're gonna win these games. And Mother Brain's like, no, none of it matters. You're like, and I feel the same way as an audience member as Eggplant Wizard. So
you're right, they do call it out. I completely forgot about it. And Mother Brain's whole argument is like, well, it would look good if for me when I'm a queen that if I won this tournament, if my team won this tournament. I'm like, just take the power. Like, you don't need this tournament at all. And it really, like, the only other logic I could think of is that if they tried to take the three sacred treasures, would they have gotten caught because without the distraction of the tournament? It's the only thing I can think of. But even that is a weak, weak, weak fucking, like, story beat.
I would like to point out, as an animation aficionado, they had a great animation of Mother Brain cackling as usual. But for some reason, the laugh track was like, they just used a simple laugh for that take.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so I don't know if they changed audio at some point. But after the phone call with the video call with the end team, she's like, ha ha ha. But then they keep the animation of her laughing maniacally. And I'm like, did we lose the soundtrack? Like, what happened here?
I still can't get over how good the design of Mother Brain is. I know we've talked about it on previous episodes. I love the visual design of it. It's so ridiculous. Like, it sticks with you. Like, it's not, she's horrifying looking, but in a good way. Like, it works really fucking well.
Whenever I play the Metroid games, it's still a disappointment when I see what Mother Brain looks like in the Metroid games.
I know, because it doesn't seem sinister or villainous at all. It's just like a ball just in a glass tube. So then they agree to this tournament, and then begins a training montage or a training scene. They do a little bit of a training montage, a little bit of like some actual scenes and whatnot. And it is
what the listeners don't know either is that Josh and I are wearing matching end team tracksuits like from the show.
Dude, we should do that as a cosplay for a convention.
Yeah,
right.
Yes.
You could totally do that. But this both of these scenes, the scenes where you see the end team training and then Mother Brain's team training, is probably my two favorite scenes in the whole episode.
Yes.
It starts off with the end team, and you see Kevin doing jump rope, then you see Lana doing jump rope, and Simon's like, I don't need your jump rope, I have a whip. And then he starts doing jump rope with his whip. I'm like, well, that, he's okay, if you're insisting, but whatever. And then, so he's showing off, he's doing jump rope, you know, he's jumping rope, like standing on his hands and then holding one end with his foot, and he's doing all this crazy stuff. And then the jump rope gets out of hand and it starts moving on its own, or sorry, the whip gets out of hand and starts moving on its own. And it ends up, he ends up getting all tangled up with it, and he ends up hogtied, like in a really strange position too. Like, no way a human could actually bend that way. Like, imagine, like,
it's like reverse hogtied.
Yeah, it's like a reverse hogtied. I mean, most times, like, people are lying on their back with their arms and legs up and they're tied together, right? This is, he's laying on his stomach and his arms and legs are bent all the way backwards. It looks like he would have had to dislocate his legs and his arms to be able to be in that position. And Kevin utters one of my favorite lines of the show, where he goes, "I'm not too sure about you, Simon, but your whip is in great shape." Which you probably will have heard as the intro sound snippet for this episode. Either that, or there's another one later on for Eggplant Wizard's team, for Eggplant, in between Eggplant Wizard and King Hippo, that I really like too. But what do you got on this scene, Dex?
No, I felt like I was just obsessed with the tracksuits, the matching tracksuits. I also, when they were trying out the different like Olympic things to train with, and Mega Man finds the weights for the shot put.
And what am I supposed to do with these balls, Kevin?
There's your other audio clip right there.
There's a bunch of good ones in this.
So aside from that, the gag of him launching the shot put halfway across the planet was one thing. But then I was like, it almost kills everyone on the team as it flies through the air. But I was like, how have we not won the war yet when Mega Man can do that? Just give him cannonballs.
He could literally probably hit the other lands yeah. with that kind of power yeah. from his own world.
Yeah,
it's insane. So then Kid Icarus is like, "Oh, I'm going to handle the archery competition," which makes sense. But then he's not looking, and he misfires an arrow right into Simon's butt. And so Simon, I wish I could use this clip for the intro, because it's by far my favorite. But it's a visual gag more than anything, so it wouldn't translate well over the podcast. Simon comes up and goes, "What were you aiming at?" And he goes, the Targetus or something like that. You know, he says the target. And Simon bends over, presents his butt to Kid Icarus and goes, "Does this look like a target?" I'm like, wow, they're really like, they're not, this is not subtle. They're putting it right on Front Street. Simon's asking. And I was just like, "Does this look like a target?" Oh my God, I was dying. I was laughing so hard at that scene.
I feel like this episode alone could live on with like Rocky Horror Picture Show and like those kind of events where the audience participates. Like, I feel like we could turn this episode into an experience with.
Does everyone stick their butts up during that yeah. scene? Does this look like a target? And everyone just presents their butt to the sky.
Yes, exactly.
It's just such a stupid. I just can't get that out of my head, and it's even funnier because the arrow is still sticking in it, so you just see it like poking out. It's funny.
Yeah, the butts have a lot of detail in these couple of episodes, I feel like. And I don't think that was just me. I feel like there was, yeah, I feel like there was some animated, like, attention to detail on the animated butts in these, and particularly this episode.
I did not notice that, but I'm glad you did. Good for you, Dexter.
I will die on this hill. On this butt hill.
On this butt hill. Oh my God. I just, there's so much. It, like, between, you know, Kevin saying, you know, "Your whip's in shape," telling Simon his whip is in shape, Mega Man saying, "What do I do with these balls?" And then Simon presenting his butt to Kid Icarus saying, "Does this look like a target?" Like, that scene is just probably one of my favorites. Only, like, can, and if it is trumped by another scene, it's the one immediately following where we now jump to Mother Brain's team training
in the world of Punch-Out.
In the world of Punch-Out, which I thought was cool. And I also noticed, I don't know if this was meant to be an homage to the original Punch-Out, but if as the camera pans across the screen of the gym, I mean, you see people boxing and stuff like that, and some of the villains boxing, you see a shadow boxer knock somebody out. And I'm kind of like, is that an homage to the original Punch-Out where you play as this wireframe guy? You know what I'm talking about?
I took that as I took that as a play on the term shadow boxing.
That probably makes more sense.
Because the character who gets knocked out, in my opinion, looks like they're supposed to be Glass Joe,
who's definitely
the first contestant. So I think the joke is that Glass Joe is so bad that when he was shadow boxing, his shadow knocks him out.
Mm-hmm.
And for the, I believe Simpsons coined the term, it was like a pause button joke or like home video joke or whatever. Mm. But there, this particular scene has so many jokes that if you don't have, you know, like if you're watching it on live TV, you'd probably miss half of them. But, you know,
I missed all of them. Then the only one I might have noticed was in the scene where Mother Brain is talking to Eggplant Wizard and King Hippo. The sign behind them says Little Matt, M-A-T-C, like Mac, but with a T. I was like, oh, they're referencing Little Mac from the game.
Yeah, I'm wondering if they, and the layout of it is weird from a design standpoint. So I'm wondering if they had to like, hey, you can't say Little Mac. Like you got to. Maybe Nintendo had that trademarked or something like that.
But they didn't have Donkey Kong trademarked, or you know what I mean? Like that's very odd.
Yeah, but I also don't think they write out Donkey Kong, you know, whereas Little
But they
Mac,
say it.
Yeah, but Little Mac was written.
I don't know. Anyway, what were some of these jokes? Because I didn't catch any of them.
It was kind of just more of like the visual gags of it. Because yeah, like I said, Glass Joe getting knocked out by the shadow, and there was just some like silly shenanigans going on in the background. But the immediate, like when the scene gets started, the King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard have a similar like accidental run in the way that Kid Icarus and Simon did in the previous scene.
You're
and
right. I did not notice that parallel.
I actually chuckled out loud at King Hippo's line when Eggplant Wizard's like, I'm sorry, it was an accident. And King Hippo goes, I'll give you an accident on purpose.
I'll give you an accident on purpose.
Yeah, I was like, I'm going to start using that, I think, as a comeback.
Whoever the voice actor for King Hippo is so convincing because he just gets so mad. Dude, if we ever get a chance to, I'm going to see if I can get some of the voice. I think I said it on an episode before, but I mean it. I want to see if I can get one of the voice actors for Captain or just someone who worked on this show.
Yes.
Just anybody. I don't care who. I want to try to reach out to somebody.
And if anyone listening knows someone through like 7 degrees of separation, let us know.
Gary Chalk is the voice of King Hippo. I have no idea if Gary Chalk is still working or not, or if he, like, this may sound mean, but if he's still alive, because the picture on IMDb looks a little bit older, not like him being old, but like the picture quality looks like, I'm going to guess 90s-ish. He was born in 52, so he would be almost 70 now.
Yeah.
So he could very easily still be working. So I don't know. I hope so. It would be awesome to get him on. I can see he was a boat captain in the Paul Walker movie, Eight Below, in 2006. He was also the voice of Optimus Prime in Beast Wars.
What?
Yeah. And yeah, he's still doing movies. He just had a movie. He was in Cats and Dogs 3, Paws Unite, as Old Ed.
Yep.
He was the Navy Chief of Staff in the Sonic the Hedgehog movie.
Oh.
So he had a small role. That's kind of fucking cool. And he's the voice of Dr. Light in Mega Man Fully Charged, which ran from 2018 to 2019. I'm going to see if there's any chance that I could get him on, I'm going to try to find a way. I don't know if he has a Twitter. I have no idea. He does have a Twitter. We're doing research right now. Oh, apparently his account has been suspended. I don't know why.
You did an accident on purpose, probably.
He did an accident on purpose. He did post on Instagram as recently as July 1st. So that's pretty good. That's pretty comforting. That's promising. So I'm going to see if I can. I'm going to see if I can do it. I'm going to see if I can find a way to reach out to him. Anyway, because King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard are my favorites, in my opinion. And I like
they end up getting, because of his accident on purpose, they decide that they're going to have a fight in the ring and Punch Out World. And Eggplant Wizard starts throwing puns along with his spells. And this was heartbreaking to me as an artist, because he turns, his powers are turning things into vegetables, being the Eggplant Wizard. He's turning King Hippo into these different vegetables as he's like, I'll squash you, turns him into a squash. I might use that as our thumbnail because I love the squash version of King Hippo. But all of these gags, I'll beat you, he turns him into a beet, and I'll artichoke the life out of you, I think he says, which is kind of violent, and turns him into an artichoke. And all of these designs of King Hippo as vegetables are beautiful, and they last like a fraction of a second. And it makes me so sad that some artist spent the time to redesign King Hippo as these ridiculous vegetables, and they are amazing, and they go by so fast.
So the ones that stuck out to me that would I think would be good for our thumbnail in this one would be either the one of Simon Hogtied where he's like, or you mentioned this before we were talking off mic of Eggplant Wizard using his French fry as a jump rope, but I think it'd be funnier instead of holding, seeing like isolating the thing of him actually doing the jump rope, wait till he's eating the fry, like because he jump ropes with it, then he stops, holds it up in the air, spritz his ketchup on it, and then starts sucking it up like a noodle, and just have the still of him going like sucking it up. I think that'd be really funny. But the other line that, so when we were watching this episode on stream, the next scene after King Hippo gets turned into all those different, not the next scene, the next moment, excuse me, after King Hippo gets turned into all those different bad puns, the line that just killed me because it's just so dumb was after, to get back at Eggplant Wizard, he's like, oh, I'm going to give you the old flying hippo eggplant jam slam.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, you know, that old thing, that old standard, the old flying hippo eggplant jam slam.
It's very anime of eggplant, him to have a really long name for his move.
And Eggplant Wizard is like crawling away and he goes, no, not the flying hippo eggplant jam slam. Like they repeat it. So they really want you to remember this. And then he lands on top of it and just cream shoots everywhere. And of course, that led to all of us going, oh my God, Eggplant Wizard just creamed everywhere. And, you know, dirty joke, but whatever. But it comes back later in the episode. There's a scene later on in this episode where they're at the Video Olympics and they're in one of the competitions. Freaking, you don't know where it comes from, but it cuts back to Mother Brain and she's yelling at the Eggplant Wizard saying, get this stuff off of me before I like salt and stir fry you or something like that. I forget what she says. Eggplant, and it's got Eggplant Wizard's cream all over Mother Brain's glass jar. And Eggplant Wizard comes up and licks it off.
I must have pushed that into a dark place in my brain to avoid remembering that.
I was flabbergasted. I'm like, this is a children's show. Are you kidding me? What a weird gag to go with. Like, we can't think of anything funny. So Eggplant Wizard's just gonna just gonna like lick this off. Okay.
I guess this was the early era of slime. This was like before. Okay, there we go. Another thing that Captain N is setting up before anyone else sliming, before Nickelodeon, you know.
Well, when did Nickelodeon first start sliming?
I feel like that was like an early 90s thing that they started sliming people. Maybe, I guess I can't, you can't do that on television. Did that Canadian TV show that they would re-air?
Wow. Actually, I believe it probably slime Nickelodeon slime came first, because Nickelodeon's iconic slime first made its appearance on You Can't Do That on Television, the Canadian made sketch comedy show that ran from 1979 to 1990. From there, it became a staple of almost everything the network did, with regular slimings on many programs at the Kids' Choice Awards and the Nickelodeon Studios attraction at Universal Florida. According to Bill Buchanan, a crew member on You Can't Do That on Television, for its whole run, the slime was invented early in the show's history. So there we go.
Well, then I take it back, and I will then put it on our next scene, that people, you know, being influenced by Captain N, because after that scene, we cut back to Captain N's team for a montage. And they're trying to figure out their training, and everyone has their own ideas of training. They also do a Wheaties joke on whose face is going to be on the cereal box when they win. Because I feel like that was the Wheaties joke. I feel like I still hear grandparents making the Wheaties box jokes. But after that, Captain Hinn's like, no, I know how we have to train. All right. Let's do 100 push-ups. And my first thought in my head was One Punch Man.
I know, right? That's the first thing I thought of, too.
They're all going to be bald by the end of this episode.
There's one thing I wanted to say, though, before we move on to that next scene. The beginning of the whole training scene in the gym, before Eggplant Wizard and King Hippo fight.
Oh, yeah.
King Hippo is doing a weightlifting thing, and you find out that the barbell that he's holding, that he's lifting up, or not the barbell, but the bar that he's holding that's supposed to have weights on the end of it, is just attached to the building itself. And so he lifts up the entire building, and it cuts to a bunch of guys in the undressed in the locker room, like these weird, like alien, like food hybrid people. And they're covering themselves. I'm like, what a weird joke to go for. Like, what a weird...
Revealing the locker room.
Why would you reveal the locker room? Like, is that funny? I don't get it. I guess it kind of is.
Yeah. No, and Mother Brain's not impressed. I feel like I remember.
No, she was not. Oh, because then he's like... She's like, why are you doing that? He's like, well, you told us to train for this. She's like, no, I want you to train in cheating. And that's then right. That's where the whole
thing goes back to why are we doing this?
And the thing is, like, when we actually do get to the tournament, there's the cheating they do is very, very little of it is in the actual character's hands. Like a lot of it seems more behind the scenes type of stuff. In the very first match because after the training scene, that's when they all convene at Mount Icarus at the Coliseum on Mount Icarus to do their. To do all the different tournaments, all the different events. And the first one is Roman Greco wrestling, which I was surprised they even called it that. They didn't just call it wrestling. They were like, no, this is Roman Greco wrestling. And it's Kevin and Kid Icarus versus Eggplant Wizard and King Hippo. And then King Hippo gets subbed out for Donkey Kong, which suddenly magically appears. Like, he just appears in the ring. Like, it's not like he walked off screen. He just magically appears. And Eggplant Wizard, you know, then they start fighting. Eggplant Wizard says, oh, you need a little shrimp needs a salad. And he just was making produce appear on top of him. Like, that's a dumb joke. Then Kid Icarus eventually gets, as quote unquote, Kevin describes it, gets leverage on him and pins Eggplant Wizard, so then he tags in Donkey Kong, when Donkey Kong is like, what, conservatively 5 million times the size of of Kid Icarus. And for those new, it is Kid Icarus. The game, in the game it's Pit, but in the show it's Kid Icarus, because why not. So then Kid Icarus gets pinned, tags Kevin in with, he shoots an arrow with a hand on it to tag Kevin in. I was like, okay, sure.
If now I need to see that in an actual wrestling match.
I know, right? then Kevin comes in and it doesn't work. Donkey Kong literally just sits on them. And you even see the imprint of Donkey Kong's butt because it's like in a weird semi-figure eight hole from where his butt used to be that he sat on them.
Yeah, so, and of course they lose that first event to Mother Brain's team. But after they, and, you know, like that makes sense, isolated. But having the joke at the beginning of the episode where they had the Donkey Kong simulator, I was like, I thought there was going to be a callback to that, like, oh, we just did this simulation at the beginning of the episode, so I know how to face Donkey Kong. And nope.
That would have made too much sense, Dexter. Yeah. You're giving the show too much credit.
I was like, oh, we're just having Donkey Kong come back and sit on them. But the conceit of having Donkey Kong subbed in instead of King Hippo, by the way, was so that King Hippo could go escape and find the first secret treasure.
Yes. Yes. Because basically each event, oh, not every event, but the events are specifically designed, and Kevin keeps calling back to that, like, these events seem really familiar. And I'm like, why? Why do they seem familiar to you? Like, you have not mentioned once that you've played Kid Icarus until just this moment.
Yeah, and I mean, they're in the Kid Icarus world, so of course it's going to remind him of Kid Icarus.
Exactly. And so they keep, you know, in three events they sneak off. The last one I thought was really stupid, though. Like, the very last event was a race, and the only reason Kevin wins is because King Hippo had to dart through a warp zone to get the final hidden treasure. Right. And I'm like, don't make our hero win by luck.
Right.
Come on, like, it's ridiculous. So the whole tournament, they're cheating a bunch, and This one of these events begins begins a problem that I have that carries over into the next episode, and it's very prevalent in episode 5, which you will hear in a month, where Mega Man just refuses to shoot at shit. It's very selective what he decides he can shoot at. When there's a climbing challenge, and they're climbing up ladders, and he's facing Dr. Wily.
Yeah, in this. The classic Olympic event of the electric maze.
Yes, the electric maze. And you climb up, and there's an enemy that pops up. And so Mega Man shoots the enemy. He goes away. And then Dr. Wily creates a new enemy to attack Mega Man. And Mega Man stares at it for like a solid 2 seconds. And he goes, oh, well, I don't know what I should do. The other dude, he didn't even fucking look at. He just all of a sudden looked up, bam, and then kept on climbing. Like, his reaction time for the first enemy was instant. And this one, he's just taking his grand old time. He looks at it, goes, oh, what is that? I don't know. And then he gets shot, and then he gets knocked down and loses. And this was actually really dark. He disintegrated. He just disappears.
Yeah. I actually like that reference to how Mega Man dies in the games of pew, 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 pew. Into the
I do, too. I like that, but I feel so bad for kids watching it years later.
Yeah, because the very next scene, like, he's like, pew, 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 and, like, appears in the same way in front of everyone. He's like, hey, sorry, guys, I lost. I'm like, oh, so he didn't die.
Mm-hmm. it's so, and then it, like, because then that even references the next episode where when the characters die, they're like, oh, we only have a certain number of lives. I'm like, why didn't they say that when Mega Man died the first time?
I know.
He should be gone, technically.
Yes,
technically
that's true. Yeah, the next event being the waterfall high dive was their chance to put Lana in a swimsuit, I think. So
They really went with the skimpy outfits for Princess Lana in this episode. She wears very short shorts. And even in the fifth episode, where she's still wearing her like Captain N tracksuit, which it's not even a tracksuit. It's just a jacket and really short shorts.
She's got the cutoff shirt too to show the belly.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's and that's just 80s character designs for women where it's like the only 80s cartoon that I can think of that objectified men just as much as women is He-Man. And I mean, that dude was, have you actually know what I was watching today? I was watching the new He-Man Revelation on Netflix. Today, right? Yep. Came out at midnight.
Ooh, I got to watch that.
I watched the first episode. It's not bad. We'll talk about it more off mic. Cool. Because this is not the He-Man hour, the He-Man episode.
Now we need an Captain N crossover.
I mean, in all honesty, it would fit. Though I will say this, He-Man's animation, the original He-Man, that animation isn't quite as good as a Captain N, but at the same time, He-Man also was almost a decade older at that point, because I think the first one came out in 83, so it was like 6 years or something like that, maybe 82. I don't remember when the cartoon originally aired. Anyway, yeah, so then one quote that stuck out to me for that high diving scene was that there's sharks in the waterfall, just jumping out of the waterfall.
Yeah, horizontally?
horizontally out of the waterfall.
It's a vertical waterfall, and they like jump out horizontally.
And Lana goes, Princess Lana goes, "You didn't tell me there was going to be sharks." And he goes, "I didn't want to worry you." I'm like, that's something you should have fucking told her like way sooner.
Yes.
Than, like, come on, man.
The really cool thing, and I'm sure it was to help save animation's sake, but I actually thought it was kind of cool that the waterfall was falling into like this flat disc of water.
Like, I like that design choice really too.
Cool visual.
I think in general, this show just has really good, really great art direction.
Yeah.
Art direction and aesthetic. And the animation is not phenomenal, but none of the animation back then for like video game stuff was phenomenal. Like, it was made cheaply and efficiently, so that way they could just churn it out and just sell some more shit to kids. Like, I'm not knocking it for that, because everything was like that back then. Yeah. But the actual, like,
I'd also like to point out Eggplant Wizard's joke around this time as well, which I had to think about for a second, and then I was like, oh, okay, that's more clever than I was expecting for this show. He's doing something, I think that's when he has to go get the treasure from inside the waterfall. Because, first of all, there should always be a treasure in a waterfall when it comes to video games. So, spot on there. But he refers to her as like her wrinkliness or something like that, he calls her. And she's like, they're not wrinkles, they're beauty lines. But that wasn't the joke. But then I was like, wrinkly? What? And I was like, oh, like brain wrinkles, like wrinkles in the brain. Like, I was like, oh, I get it. Oh,
I didn't even think about that.
That's what, like,
that
a brain is, like, head. All wrinkled. And I was like,
yeah.
But it's also making fun of like her appearance. I was like, that's actually a really clever joke for this show.
It's a multi-layered joke.
Yeah.
It's not a great joke. It's clever, but it's not a great joke. It's not. Yeah.
I had to think about it too hard for it to be a successful joke, but.
But even if you didn't, like, it's not very funny. It's just more clever than anything.
Yeah.
I've never actually experienced that, a clever joke that was not funny. Normally when a joke is clever, you go like, oh, like it's refreshing. Almost like it was a hot day and you got a nice sip of cool water. But in this situation, I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah.
Good one.
I think you pulled the wool over my eyes there. Oh, and one other quote. The last quote I wrote down for this episode, not saying we have to finish talking about this episode, but like the last quote that I wrote down for this one was that during the high dive, Lana says to King Hippo, "Blubber before beauty." Which, I mean, come on, man, that's a little
Lana,
mean.
So rude.
I mean, he just because he's a hippo, just because he's King Hippo, like, come on, like, you don't have to hit below the belt here. Like,
it's just rude.
Yeah, you don't need. Don't need body shaming in this. Yeah, I really liked this episode, man. Like, I thought this story was dumb, but that's the case. But the jokes, like the stuff that made me laugh in this, there was a lot of it. And I know it wasn't necessarily the intention of the animators and the showrunners, but like, I'm sorry, but you know, like Kevin's comment about Simon's whip, Mega Man with the balls, Eggplant Wizard just creaming all over the place. It's so gross, but it's so funny. Even kind of
was that the scene where when that happens, when she Mother Brain's like, because remember, it's not whether you win or lose, and Eggplant Wizard goes, it's how you play the game. And yeah. She goes, no, you idiot, and she zaps him. And I was like waiting for a punchline, but that was the punchline. Like, I was like,
what? It's almost like an anti-joke.
Yeah. No, you idiot. And I was like, okay, what's your version of the line? And then she didn't, like, that was it. She just zapped it. I was like, oh, physical violence was the joke.
It's just, it's one of those anti-jokes. I've told you the, I told you my favorite anti-joke before, right? I feel like I might have.
Let's hear it.
So, I actually have two. One is my, one is, isn't like a great joke, but it's a good example of an anti-joke. So I like to lead with that. So what's brown and sticky?
Tape.
A stick.
Oh, that's a much better answer than mine. I was thinking of like
most people go with poo or something like that. You know, yeah. I was not expecting. That's why I gave you that look. I'm like, tape. That's the first time I've ever heard that one. No, what's brown and sticky? A stick. Which, it's not a great joke, but it's kind of like, oh, I get it. It's clever. And the one, admittedly, even this joke, anti-joke, doesn't make any fucking sense, but for some reason it captured my imagination when I first heard it. My wife was working at a childcare center and she called another teacher on the internal phone, like all the, you know, all the classrooms have phones connected to each other. Yeah. So she called another classroom and the teacher she called just picks up and goes, hello. She goes, hi, what's green and has wheels? And the teacher, understandably confused, goes, what? Grass. I lied about the wheels. Click, and hung up on her. I'm like, what? That's not a joke, but for some reason it is. I don't understand that joke at all. And she, it's funny because whenever I tell it, she doesn't even find it that funny. I find it really funny. Like, it's so dumb. It's so silly. And she was just doing it to be funny, just to be silly, you know, like, right. Haha, like, look how silly I am. What's green and has wheels? Grass. I lied about the wheels. you'd be the worst comic ever. You go up, you stand up in front of a stage, and you go up in front of the crowd, and you're like, hi, what's red and shoots fire? A book. I lied about the fire. And then click up.
The unreliable comedian.
That would be a good character, actually.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I could you ever listen to Comedy Bang Bang?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I would want to hear a character like that. Like, I could totally do that. I'm not a comedian, so I couldn't actually do it, but I would love to. Like, yeah. I would write down a bunch of those like anti-jokes, like what's green and has wheels and grass, I lied about the wheels and everything.
Yes.
And then I was just like, well, I'm a stand-up comedian, I just want to work some material for you guys. And then I just well, so, you know, well, hey everybody, how you doing? Good night. So what's I got a question for you all. What's green and has wheels? And then no one's going to answer because it's a crowd. And grass, I lied about the wheels. Click. And then I just walk off the stage.
Yeah. Well, I'll end with the one anti-joke I know my dad used to tell. He would say, ask me if I'm a frog.
So, are you a frog?
No. that was it. He thought it was hilarious, and I was like, I spent years trying to decipher this joke only to realize that it's as surface level as it is. Like, I was trying to find the meta in
this
joke.
It's even funnier that you spent years trying to figure out this joke that really did not need to be figured out.
He used to
out.
Tell me that joke. I think I was like 8 or 9. Finally, I was like 14, 15. I was like, Dad, can you finally tell me what that joke means? He was like, ask me if I'm a frog. I was like, okay, are you a frog? He was like, no. I was like,
I think it's funnier than how fixated you were on this joke than the actual joke.
Haunted me, this joke. Yeah.
this stupid joke haunted you for 14 years. At least. All right. We're running out of time for this episode. To wrap up the story, they end up winning the tournament. They end up winning the Video Olympics, and the final event is a race, and all for some reason everyone's on both teams are participating.
Yes. And we see more butts in this, by the way, which is where my butt thing came from.
What butts did we see in the race?
When I can't remember who, someone's behind either Mega Man or something like that. the camera angle takes someone's point of view where they're racing behind someone, and it's just like a too well drawn butt. Like, the butt is too it's too detailed.
I almost spit out my drink there.
So if you're a butt person, go back and watch the episode. No. But yeah, the most 80s, 90s thing happens very Marty McFly when Kevin's chariot gets destroyed by King Hippo. And he catches the rocket part of his chariot and a scrap piece of his chariot and turns it into a rocket skateboard. I had to give like a golf clap as I watched alone. Yeah, very well done. Like, thank you for bringing this back to the 80s and 90s.
They also, like all the, everyone else gets eliminated. Usually Mother Brain's team will do some cheaty thing to knock out another player, knock out someone on the Captain N team. And then they would end up crashing because they're too busy paying attention, admiring their handiwork of knocking out the other person.
Right.
My favorite thing when Kevin's like aircraft, whatever chariot thing gets destroyed, it's destroyed by King Hippo, and you know, it crumbles. And that's when he, like you said, he assembles into like a rocket skateboard. But I liked how, I forget what King Hippo says. His quote was kind of dumb, but he has one punch and he shatters Kevin's entire chariot in one punch. He just looks over, Kevin says some type of trash talk and he goes, "Oh yeah," and then he just punches it and it just shatters. The whole thing just shatters. I'm like, is this thing made out of glass? Like, what the hell's going on here?
Yeah. And then the fall, like Kevin's attitude as he's falling too, and he's like, "I hope this works." Like, it was very nonchalant, like, you know, it's going to work.
They wow. Actually, that's almost a callback to what Simon does in the next episode. We'll talk about that one. Ooh, yeah. For the next episode, a little hint, a little teaser of something not that interesting for the next episode. Okay. So they win the tournament, but then, right before they win that final race, King Hippo dives into a portal, which is how Kevin wins that race. And then he comes back out with the final treasure. Mother Brain collects all three and then warp and zaps them into the warp zone of oblivion, as she calls it. And that's where the episode ends. What will happen to Captain N and his crew? You'll have to find out on next month's episode, or you can just watch ahead and see it. But
don't tell them.
But anyway, that is episode 4 of Captain N, the Game Master. Overall, I like this episode a lot. It made me laugh really hard just because of the stupidity in it. Dexter, what are your thoughts, though?
Yeah, this episode was excellent. Lots of great sight gags. As convoluted and silly as the plot was, like, I understood it for the most part. Like, obviously, I had my questions, but like, it made sense what was going on. Like, I felt like I kept trying to figure out what was going to happen next, which is always a good sign of something that's like entertaining for the most part. That's usually a good sign when you're like, what's going to happen next? So, I thought this was definitely up there as far as one of the better episodes and as far as humor and actually like entertaining.
I agree. I think this is my favorite one in the series so far. I mean, we're only 4 episodes in, but I think it's my favorite one so far. It's actually crazy. Like, we're going to be recording episode 5 soon. We're almost halfway through the first season already. There's only 13 episodes in the first season. And actually, I was confused because I looked online and I saw there's 13 episodes of the second, but there's only 12 on YouTube for the second. I looked at what that 13th episode, the missing one, is. It's just a video clip show. It's just a clip show. There's nothing new to it, so we're not going to be missing much. Okay, so that will do it for this episode of the Still Learning Podcast. That will do it for episode 4 of Captain N, the Game Master. Dexter, thank you so much for joining me. Where can the good people find you online?
Yeah, just look me up. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Twitter with my name, Dexter Morrill, DexterMorrill. If you give that a search, I'm sure you'll find me on there. There might be an underscore in there somewhere as well in between the names, but I'm sure you'll find me if you look. As I've mentioned in previous episodes and previously on this episode, I am an artist, so you'll occasionally see my artwork posted on there. I also just like to talk about video game history and things like this in general. So yeah, come hit me up and I'll be on there talking about fun stuff.
All right. And as usual for me, you can follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at StillLoadingPod on all of them. If you want to email me, you can email me at StillLoadingContact@gmail.com. If you want to support the show, you can do it in a number of ways. Probably the best and easiest way for all of you is just to give it a 5-star rating review on Apple Podcasts or whichever podcasting app you listen to the show on, because that helps more people find it. If you want to support me monetarily, you can go to patreon.com/stillloadingpod. Even just $1 a month will help grow the show. And the most important message, and the most important thing I like to highlight, is the Bit by Bit Foundation. The Bit by Bit Foundation is a nonprofit organization whose mission is to put video games and video game consoles in the hands of children receiving inpatient care at hospitals. So if you want to support them, go to bitbybitfoundation.org and consider donating. And that will do it for this episode of Still Loading. Dexter, thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
And I will see you all. Actually, we will see you all for the next Captain episode, and I will see you all next time.